Good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate all of you being here. I want to update you on the long-term progress that we've made since January the 9th, and I would like to address the short-term developments that we've made in response to the chemical spill. But first, I want to brief you regarding this morning's report of a coal slurry spill in eastern Kanawha County. DEP investigators have been on the ground since early this morning, and test results are being rushed to the lab to help provide us with more answers about what happened at the site. At this time, I'd like to call upon Cabinet Secretary Randy Huffman to give us an update. Randy.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. Randy Huffman with DEP. Sometime during the night, between about 2:45 and 2:30 and 5:30, there was a seal on a valve on a coal slurry line that ruptured. It failed. The coal slurry was being pumped to the slurry cells for treatment. The valve was at a T in a junction box, had secondary containment around it. The material overwhelmed the secondary containment. The problem seems to have been that the pumps continue to run. We're still looking into the alarm system and what might have failed with the alarm system. Based upon just a calculation, using the pump capacity and the maximum amount of time that we believe they ran, which would have been 3 hours, there would have been a maximum of about 108,000 gallons of coal slurry that escaped the secondary containment. A little reluctant to give numbers because things will change as we gather more information, but this is just to let you know what we know. The slurry impacted about 6 miles of Fields Creek, which is just above Marmette up the Kanawha River here. It did make it to the Kanawha River. It impacted a portion of the Kanawha River. We had been operating all day under the assumption that this coal slurry was MCHM, because this plant was one of the plants that we had identified that used this material. We found out late this afternoon that they had switched from MCHM to another medium for cleaning their coal. And so the MCHM was discontinued back in January. So I have a lot of other details that we can talk about later, when the governor's finished here, I'll be around to answer any questions. But the cleanup is ongoing right now, and obviously the investigation will continue, and we'll continue to get more facts and more information. I believe that the company, and I should have said that earlier, I apologize. It was a Kanawha Eagle Prep Plant. It's a Patriot company. And it's my understanding that they're going to issue a statement later this evening with some more information in it. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Throughout this past month, my number one priority has been and continues to be the health and safety of those affected by the Elk River chemical spill. Every moment, our team has worked tirelessly to ensure public safety. These past weeks have been difficult and frustrating for all of us, but we continue to make significant progress every day. I've reached out to Senators Rockefeller and Manchin, as well as Congressman Ray Hall and Congresswoman Capito, to ask for their support of federal assistance to conduct ongoing research addressing short-term and long-term health impacts, in addition to the fundamental research about this chemical. Last week, as you know, I directed my interagency team to begin evaluating and move quickly on in-home testing options. This type of project is unprecedented, not just here in West Virginia, but across the country and around the world. We know we can't do this alone. We don't know everything, and we still have questions that need answered from the public. The public has a right to know, and we know that transparency is paramount. And that is why today I'm announcing that we will move forward with the West Virginia Testing Assessment Project, or WVTAP. This project will be run by independent scientific experts. The only thing I've asked of this team is to remain independent, to remain transparent, and to keep an open line of communication with you about their activities and their findings. The independent team, led by Dr. Andrew Welton and Jeff Rosen of Corona Environmental Consulting, will first initiate a project that will be used for the design of an extensive in-home, at-the-tap sampling study. Next, they will engage independent experts to perform odorless threshold tests for MCHM. And finally, they will assemble a panel of national experts who will conduct a thorough review of MCHM and PPH drinking water screening levels. These outside experts are experienced with drinking water quality issues within homes, and they will focus on water quality at the tap. Their research will lead them, and their efforts will help answer very important questions. And if they find a problem along the way, then we will look for solutions. I have committed $650,000 from my budget to launch this effort. It is time to let the political officials step aside and let the scientists come in and do the work that we need them to do. I'll now ask that Dr. Welton to give a summary of the West Virginia TAP project and the efforts of his team. Dr. Welton.
Thank you, Governor. The scale of chemical contamination of the drinking water in Charleston, West Virginia has been unprecedented. 3 weeks ago, I was in Charleston with a group of University of South Alabama students. I met many of you press individuals during that time, and I also, along with the students and faculty, met many of the residents of Charleston area. We helped individuals flush their homes, and we tested their drinking water. Many people asked us numerous questions we could not answer. They could not be answered because limited data were available for the chemicals spilled into the Elk River. Their fate, their properties, and most importantly, their health impacts. In fact, there is so little data available, many federal and state agencies could not and still cannot answer all of the questions West Virginians are demanding to be answered. Some of these questions include, does the 10 ppb screening level of MCHM protect my health? Why am I smelling the odor when the MCHM levels are said to be non-detectable? What are the chemical levels in my home tap water, including PPH? Does my hot water contain more chemicals or more MCHM than cold water? I can tell you from personal experience receiving emails over the last 3 weeks that the list goes on. And all of these questions must be answered. Governor Tomlin and the Department of Health and Human Resources have agreed these questions must be answered. At the request of the governor, Jeffrey Rosen, president of Corona Environmental Consulting, along with two of their senior scientists, and I will conduct an independent study to answer questions and identify research needed to respond to this ongoing crisis. This project is unprecedented and will engage leading health risk assessment and drinking water odor experts from across the world and determine the drinking water chemical levels in affected homes. Over the past several days, Jeff and I have listened to the governor's office's input. 3 weeks ago, my engineering and science team visited and met with many of the affected residents. I have also, as I have mentioned, personally received numerous emails and telephone calls from residents asking these same questions. Nonprofit organizations have also contacted me, reaching out, continuing to indicate that these questions demand answers. All of these people are asking for help. And let me be clear, this project, the one that the Corona scientists and I have begun, is independent. There are three main project objectives. Objective one is to convene an international panel of experts to examine the West Virginia safety factor applied to the 10 part per billion MCHM drinking water screening level. These individuals will be health risk assessment experts recruited from the scientific community. Objective two is to determine the drinking water odor threshold for MCHM. This action is important because it is possible people can detect MCHM odors at concentration less than the sensitivity of laboratory instruments. This effort will be completed by some of the most well-known drinking water odor experts in the world. Objective three is to conduct a focused drinking water residential sampling study. The collected data will then be used to support the design of larger, more comprehensive program for the nine counties affected. This project will include all nine counties. The projects we have outlined are essential to answering the legitimate questions posed by the community. We will develop a framework for future research that should be conducted to improve our understanding of health effects, chemical characteristics, and chemical fate. We believe the steps the Governor Tomlin and his staff have taken recognize the important concerns raised by the public. Corona Environmental Consulting and I are very eager to help with unbiased, scientifically sound information. During this past weekend, Jeffrey and I contacted experts across the country to assist. The state of West Virginia rushed ship supplies across the U.S. so that we can begin testing. Today, experts from Corona Environmental Consulting flew into Charleston. We are fully committed to helping West Virginians answer the critical questions that they are demanding to be answered. How we respond as a nation to help the people of West Virginia will define how we respond for the future drinking water contamination disasters. There is a role for state and federal governments, as well as scientists across the nation, to provide assistance. The people affected by this incident need our help. It is indisputable that West Virginians have been struck by an unprecedented drinking water disaster. Many of you in this room are West Virginians. The scientific community and federal government must find a way to help the people of West Virginia. Through this project, we will help answer important questions the public and many of you are asking. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Welton. As we've said, this is an independent project, but it's one that we could not have established without the support of our state and local health agencies. I'm very pleased that Dr. Gupta, he was here earlier and was called away, but Dr. Twill from the Cabell County Health Department and Dr. Whitberg from the Mid-Ohio Health Department, we're pleased to have you and we appreciate your help over the weekend as we were making these decisions. So once again, I want to thank all of you for joining us. I appreciate the patience and resilience of everyone in the affected areas. And now I'd like to open the floor up for questions if you have any.
Yes, ma'am. Can you talk about how many homes you plan to test and how you'll determine who you're going to test?
Can you repeat your question?
How many homes do you plan to test in this sampling and how will those candidates be chosen?
For the smaller initial project, we're testing 10 homes and we've already made contact with several of those individuals. For the larger project, it will be more inclusive. It will be much greater than 100, certainly. And we're working on the procedure to kind of solicit voluntary input for individuals that want their homes tested. We will have a mechanism to make that possible, to be considered for that testing. Yes.
Are you going to be looking at homes with different types of pipes, plastic, aluminum, copper, whatever the material may be? Are you looking at differentials with how that water is passing through the home?
Correct. So one of the aspects of the project is we will select homes, but once we go on site, then we'll determine what type of plumbing system materials that they have on their site. So we will, when all the data is collected, be able to determine these are plastic pipe homes, these are copper pipe homes. And we'll be able to interpret the data that way. Yes.
Dr. Welton, are you, given your expertise, are you prepared to say, you know there's been a disconnect here for a couple of weeks now, how far are you prepared to go in saying what the current safety of the water is?
Are you talking about the word safe?
Safe.
Right. And I think that's very important to bring up because I think this incident has really brought out the fact as to to what is the word safe mean? I drink the water here. I bathe in the water here. I believe it's safe for me. But there is a national and international discourse happening right now about whether or not the water is safe in Charleston, West Virginia. I believe the results that we will provide from this study will be very helpful and actionable, so that if there's any issues associated with plumbing system contamination, we will find them.
Do you know how long it's going to be until any of these results are released? I mean, I think people have questions now of water safety. It sounds like a study that's going to take some time.
Right. And David, as I mentioned, we have already initiated the experts. So the experts, there's three legs to the project, and we already have initiated the health risk assessment experts. We're setting up a team that will, are independent of us, will provide their expertise, because we are not health risk assessment experts. So we are getting the world's best health risk assessment experts to immediately to start on that. The second phase of that project also is examining the odor threshold concentrations of MCHM. We've been in discussions with those individuals, so we've really, the train has left the station, and we're really trying to get information to the public. And then as far as the testing phase, we go out tomorrow.
So is that like weeks or months or years? Do you have any sort of estimate at the time?
Right. So we expect 3 weeks it will take to complete all of the 10 home visits, and we will be having preliminary data that we will make available. You were asking how long it takes to get, say, for MCHM levels. Well, there are certain laboratories that it takes up to 10, 14 days to get levels, and we are at the mercy of the laboratories in that instance.
Will the testing results be posted online somewhere for people to access in the public and such?
For the first 10-home pilot study, we are going to be providing that information directly to the homeowners. And we're going to try to find mechanisms to provide that information to the public. Certainly, we will not identify the person's name and address and contact information and such. And there was a question.
How did you pick the 10 homes?
How did we pick the 10 homes? My University of South Alabama student and faculty team came up 3 weeks ago, and we made contact with some nonprofits. The nonprofits have been very effective in finding us individuals who want their water tested. And what I have done is simply gone back to those individuals.
Can you share some of your findings of your preliminary results? We know you were here a few weeks ago. Did you test for MCHM during that time, and what did you find? What other chemicals did you find in the water, if any?
Right, I can talk to that. We do not have the MCHM results back yet from the sampling we did 3 weeks ago. We did, when we were on site, we did what's called chlorine testing to determine the disinfectant level in the water. And we found low disinfectant levels in homes that hadn't been flushed, probably because the water sat stagnant for 7 to 14 days, which is unusual. We did examine pH, and we did examine water temperature as well.
And testing for, I guess, which laboratories are you going to be using? Are you going to be using Matrix, what the state has been using for the past few weeks, or are you looking to go outside the state? What are you planning?
In the prior work that I conducted at the University of South Alabama, we used ALS Environmental Laboratory. In this study here, we've deliberately avoided using the state laboratories. We are using ALS Environmental and Eurofins. There was a question, yes.
I think it's more for Governor Tomlin, but at the press conference last week, federal officials repeatedly said they didn't think we needed home testing. I don't think you necessarily said no, but you didn't seem very enthusiastic about it. And then a couple hours later, it seemed like something changed. So what changed?
Well, you know, I obviously heard, you know, people do want their homes tested, or at least a sampling taken. And we went back, and once again, this is unprecedented. And obviously, you know, the thoughts at the time, there's 100,000. There's no way that we could test 100,000 homes. I mean, it's just basically impossible. And probably, you know, one of those things that would not give us any more information if we did that route. So, you know, when we talked to Dr. Wildhelm, you know, I mean, he is, you know, focused a lot on private residences, water testing and so forth, and we felt that it would be best to go ahead and contact him. You know, the smells persist and so forth, and so we decided to go ahead and go with the sample testing process.
Unfortunately,
I'm afraid that's the starting point.
And where will, I guess,
obviously, as I mentioned in my remarks, I've reached out to the members, our U.S. senators and congressmen, to see if, the way I look at this is, this is not just a West Virginia problem. I mean, to have a incident such as this, it's something that could happen all over the country. And so I've asked them to help with Homeland Security, Department of Human Services, and so forth, to see if there are other ways that we can get some assistance. Because, once this report is back and once the after-incident report is done, I think this will probably be a blueprint should other cities or other states face similar types of crisis like this. So I think that we're reaching out to the federal government to see if they will assist us, because it's going to be a very expensive proposition.
This kind of seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but something that is aimed to both get information and also inspire confidence in the public.
Sure.
And it certainly seems to me that at least confidence in the public is low right now. They don't really trust what people are saying about the water. So given that, and given a month of hindsight, is there anything you might have done, you or your administration might have done differently over the past month?
I don't think so. From day one, we reached out to the agencies like CDC, EPA, and others, and basically, as we started the testing process to make sure that the water was at acceptable levels for the MCHM, we relied upon CDC and testing for one part per million. We went beyond that to test at 10 parts per billion, and I think it was a wise move for us to make, go beyond what the officials there had said, and I feel confident we did the right thing. Obviously, we've learned a lot in the last month. It's a chemical hardly any of us knew anything about, and still today we're learning more about it. So I think by reaching out to some of the best scientists in the country and around the world, as we're doing here, it will give us much better answers and hopefully give us the people some confidence that we can get this water system back in order.
Yes, obviously, the spotlight right now is on MCHM PPH because of the current crisis that we're in, but we all know we live in Chemical Valley. Are there other prominent chemicals that we don't know a lot about that could be part of this project as well to find out the health adverse effects of those?
I will call on the doctor to help me with that one. I'm not a scientist.
This project will not involve other chemicals that are airborne in the area. This project is solely focused on the drinking water contamination incident that happened due to the Elk River spill.
Will the 10 homes that you'll be first testing, will those be across the nine counties, or are they going to be concentrated in one area?
That's a great question. So we are deliberately picking at least one home in every county, and Kanawha will have two. The last county, the largest county, will have two. Yes. David.
Has there been any sort of collaboration with West Virginia American Water in either talking about the types of pipes that they have or talking about particular testing methods, or just any sort of collaboration at all? Or do you plan to have any?
And that's a great question. I can address your first question about plumbing types, pipe types. Well, what's important to recognize is that buried water pipes are typically made of iron and PVC. But once you get inside homes, now we're dealing with copper and a number of different plastics and sometimes iron as well. So water utilities are typically spend most of their efforts on understanding the materials that are in their system and not so much inside people's homes. With regards to are we collaborating with them, we have asked them to tell us what types of laboratories they're using and what are the detection limits of those laboratories. But we are not asking them in any way, form, shape, or form for any other information.
Because last week, I know Mr. McIntyre, President McIntyre, said that he was in negotiations or discussions with the governor's office about officially paying for the testing. It sounds like that's not going to happen.
I can tell you that the last meeting I had with Mr. McIntyre, that he would offer some assistance, financial assistance, if we needed it. And at this time, we have not accepted any assistance from the water company.
I think this question is probably best for Mr. Wellen. At the last press conference, an EPA official referenced a report, I think, about how MCHM interacts with pipes. I don't think that report has been made available publicly. We've heard public, you know, state health officials say that we think it has low stickiness to pipes. Is that your understanding? Have you seen, I think, the report that was referenced by the EPA official last time?
So I have not published a report on MCHM.
Oh, no, not from you. I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the EPA official last time said they had a report.
Right, and I think I know what you're talking about. It's actually a publicly available report. You can go to the EPA website. I believe it's EPA's Homeland Security Research Center. It's called Chemical Decontamination. And what's important to note is in that study, if that's a study that they're referencing, only included PVC pipes, which are not installed in people's houses. And MCHM certainly was not included in that study, since there's simply no data out there for it. So I'm not really certain where they're making the basis of their decisions about stickiness on.
So when the, you know, state public health officer says that our understanding is that MCHM has a low, I don't know the technical term, but stickiness factor to pipes, is that your understanding, or do we just not know?
I would say we don't know.
Would you say at this time, based on your observations, can you say there's a link between some of the water that's coming out of the tap and some of the health effects that have been reported, some of the conditions like rashes, nausea, vomiting? Do you feel comfortable at this time drawing a connection?
I can tell you I'm not a medical doctor, but I was in homes and I was chemically exposed to something when I was flushing a room and I became dizzy. So personally, I think 3 weeks ago that I had some type of reaction, but I recovered in about a day. We did talk to a lot of people who had those concerns, and as Governor Toblin mentioned, we think this is a federal, we need federal money for additional research, especially in the toxicology and the health impacts, and the federal government needs to act soon.
I know you mentioned Jeff Rosen from the other company, but how many testers in your team will be there?
Right, so for the 10 houses, we have 4 people, and we move as a team.
And any interagency cooperation with the state, I mean, are you going to be working with the local health department while testing, anything else, or is this purely independent, even on the ground?
We will be working with the volunteer firefighters organization, but we will not be reporting back to DHHR or any type of government agency. This is independent.
So, today we heard again about two additional positive tests for MCHM at another elementary school. And we are hearing about the testing, but again, do you think that speaks to public's confidence in the water, or to maybe continued flushing issues in the school, or a connection between, you know, some sort of aerosol issues or breathing in issues that's in the schools?
Can I bring the Colonel up? He has been in charge of as the first response team when they have a smell or something. Would you like to address that?
Yes, sir. Lieutenant Colonel Grant with National Guard. We did have 2 tests that came back today from Malden Elementary, which were 13 parts per billion and 18 parts per billion. Those numbers are very low compared to the 1 part per million from the CDC safety threshold. So at this point, what we'll do is go back and work with the school, work with the health department, and the school will be flushed this evening. We will take more samples this evening as well, and then we'll deliver those back out to the labs.
Do we have any more information as to why this school, which sounds like it was flushed at least once before today, why this school, after flushing, would still show signs of the chemical?
It was in a water fountain, so I'm not for sure if the water fountain itself was completely flushed, and something that we're looking into as an interagency team. There was another water fountain in the school that came back at non-detect. We have tested other water fountains in other schools that have come back, you know, non-detect as well. So something that we're looking into.
Ideally, how much federal money do you think you would need for something like this?
A lot.
So I need to be frank. This unprecedented disaster, and you look at $650,000 of taxpayer money, is a lot of money. But long-term monitoring is needed. Immediate animal studies are needed. As we all know and we hear about this, there's one animal study out there that was used as the basis of the screening levels. We need to initiate those types of toxicological studies as soon as possible. There are agencies such as the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health that have the capability to find the best and brightest minds in the world and give them the money to do the work to answer the questions. This is not going to be easy, and it's not going to be tomorrow. But the federal government needs to engage the best and brightest minds in the world to come in. This one project is not about Jeffrey Rosen or myself or anybody else involved. We need help. We need additional researchers around the U.S. We need additional funding to give to those researchers. This is simply a monumental, unprecedented chemical drinking water contamination incident, a disaster.
Thank you all.